This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. On the back of Earth Day, today Enterprise Explores, the 2024 Earth Day report that was released by market research firm Ipsos Malaysia with Arun Menon, Managing Director of Ipsos Malaysia. This is the fourth edition of the report and is based on a 33-country survey conducted where 24,000 people were interviewed between January 26th and February 9th. Key findings, there's some really interesting key findings. I'm going to run through them before we jump into the conversation with Arun. The first one is conviction on climate change action is waning with across 33 countries. A majority think governments, businesses and individuals have a responsibility to tackle climate change. But the conviction has dropped notably over the past 3 years. Another key finding here is that there's a sense of fatalism among the young, millennial and Gen Zs, especially men, feel more apathetic and fatalistic about climate change compared with older generations and women. 3 in 10 say it's already too late to tackle climate change. The third key finding was polluters should pave the way. No secret, I think this is a sentiment. The countries that are polluting say that the countries that they shouldn't be the only ones responsible for dealing with this, whereas the more developing nations saying, hey, the developed countries that are historically have higher emissions should be the one who contribute more towards climate action. Fourth key finding, beliefs lag behind climate reality, although awareness is improving. Globally, people continue to misjudge which actions have the most impact on reducing carbon footprint. People are overestimating the effectiveness of low action impacts, such as recycling. Not that it's a bad thing, but we're overestimating its impact on as a climate action versus something like switching to renewable energies. The transition to clean energy, which is the fifth finding here, comes at a price. Most are optimistic that the transition that transitioning economies away from fossil fuels will have environmental benefits, but the views are mixed on the economic and affordability impacts. In fact, based on the EY survey last year, we saw some nations that were further ahead in their energy transition started to see their energy mix be a little bit more sporadic and the confidence started to wane a little bit. And the last one here is make it cheap and easy. Financial incentives and access to information are the leading motivators globally that could spur more climate action by individuals, followed by seeing climate impacts in their country. Again, making solar panels cheaper, getting it easier for people to put that on their roofs. Financial incentives have been key in these kind of situations. Now, if you have any thoughts on this and anything you want to ask Arun about the report, you can WhatsApp us on our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899. Arun, welcome to the show. How have you been since February?
Thank you. Thank you for having us again here.
I think that time we were talking about e-wallets in the country. Today, a whole different topic.
Absolutely.
Key findings about environmentalism and Earth Day. I kind of gave you I kind of went through the key findings of the report. Did I do it justice?
Absolutely. You went through it thoroughly.
Let's start with the first one, right? The key here is that sense of global responsibility. That's one of the key findings in the report, right? That a majority believe that developed countries should lead in climate action, but the developed countries themselves believe that shouldn't be the case. So how should these nations balance between the domestic economic concerns that can come from something like this with their international responsibilities? What does this finding tell us about the need for this? How do we allocate that responsibility?
Absolutely. So if you have been watching the discussions in the UN and each climate summit, this has always been the debate, right? That, the countries which has been qualified as the historical polluters, right, versus the new emerging economies, there is always the debate that we shouldn't be paying for the issues that you caused in the past, right? And so we have the statistics that around the 7 countries, which is the global economies, which actually contribute 50% of the total carbon emissions in the world, as per the UN, right? And the question is that if it's a smaller countries, as in Malaysia, does it needs to be equally treated like, the US or the Chinas or the Indias, who is actually contributing more? But even China and India, there was or even African countries, that we have to lift a massive amount of people out of poverty. Mm-hmm. That means development and economy, right? At the same time, you're asking us to be, you know, transitioning to the renewable economies as well, right? Which is much more costlier. And that's that, you know, that's not fair to us, is where the argument has been. And it's actually dragged a lot of climate summit for too long to get the final approval across, right? This has been, and it would continue to be a debate. It's not going to be easy. But what the UN says is that developed countries has to move almost $100 billion to the developing markets, or the markets across the emerging world, to make sure that our achievement, you know, our target to keep the temperature rising beyond 1.5, right? So limited within 1.5. So that's like $100 billion every year from the markets of Europe and the US and Canada and others to be moving, which they are not very comfortable doing it, right? So it is in different ways, you know, transitioning the technology. Why would I want to spare the technology to another country? Many ways.
Yeah, there's some interesting insights on this. Majority is 28 or 33 countries surveyed agree that if their government doesn't act now to combat climate change, it will be failing the people of their country. So we're seeing that sentiment play out. People believe that action needs to be done. It's just we don't agree on how, we don't agree on whose responsibility it should be, mostly who should be bearing the burden of it. And you know, the interesting note here was that youth apathy, right, that Gen Z and the millennials, they seem to be jaded about climate actions. I'd be lying if I said I didn't relate to this point. Talk to us about some of the implications of this growing apathy among the younger generations and younger men towards climate change. What are we seeing here and what are the implications?
So if you're a parent of Gen Z, apathy is not something new to you. So, the fact that there are a couple of aspects which they are, it's not that, say, there are part of the people who are in denial or like, you know, skeptics of the climate. But beyond that, the fact that some of the Gen Zs, specifically the men who believe that, you know, this is too far into the future. Why do I need to sacrifice now? Right. I have other priorities to do. Right. And there's others who believe that, you know, whatever that I do is not going to make a difference. Right. So that's another aspect of it. Right. And so there are multiple aspects of that. The other part of it is that so there is always discussion. The power is always at the, you know, baby boomers generation and the Gen X per se. Right. We cannot make a real difference at this point of time. So that's the another aspects of it. But interesting to say that the female side of it, they are much more pro into saying that, you know, we can make a difference. We can say that. And to be honest, globally, the female segments, the female gender across the world is much more vulnerable to the climate impact than the men across the world, right? So in a way that they do seems to be recognizing it more than the male section of the society.
That is a very interesting finding from that, from the report, from the survey. And I'm sure we'll need to do more surveys to kind of figure out why that difference between the two genders there. But we'll leave that conversation for another day, Arun. Now, another key finding from the report was that developed countries are expected to lead the fight against climate change. But global collaboration is needed. And, you know, there's that, again, that push and pull between all developed nations have historically been the biggest polluters. They need to be dealing with this as opposed to the emerging countries that are still much, on a relative scale, much smaller polluters. Tell us a little bit more about this finding elaborate further on it and some of the implications from that.
Okay. So developed countries, for in a lot of sense, is at the forefront of investing on climate technology, right? In terms of, you know, transitioning their fuel sources into renewable, right? So this has been in the discussion quite a long time as such, right? So that's one aspect. The second thing is the developing countries, like they have a different priority compared to the developing world, the emerging markets across the world as well, right? So within the developed economies as well. Now, there is a big chunk of the population says that, you know, we shouldn't be paying for that, right? Say, for example, we shouldn't be paying for another country's transition into a greener economy. They don't see it as like a global... our priority, like the developed markets, is that, you know, because these countries are under severe inflation, like the cost of living is going up and the other factors to it, right? So fact should be more in terms of creating jobs in our markets and, you know, protecting our resources and stuff, right? And if you look at now, this is an election year. Across the world, elections are happening, right?
It's so going on in India right now.
India and the US is coming soon. The UK is coming soon. All of these developed markets are heading to the election. The narrative is more towards like, you know, America first or the UK first and others, right? Where the last thing that you would consider is that, you know, passing money to another country to transition.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you've got a lot of that. We'll deal with this problem today, the now problem. But, you know, there are always going to be now problems. And there are some longer term problems like the climate crisis that, you know, at some point is going to be more difficult to deal with. It was optimistic, I guess, not optimistic, but it was positive to see Biden and Bidenomics and all the Inflation Reduction Act kind of put money towards renewables and green tech in the US. But we kind of need to see how that plays out in other countries as well, right? Yeah. Arun, we got more to get into, more findings to dive into and implications from those. Today, we're exploring the 2024 Earth Day report that was released by market research firm Ipsos Malaysia. This is the fourth edition of the report and is based on a 33-country survey conducted with 24,000 people interviewed between January 26th and February 9th. I'm Roshan Kanasin. This is Enterprise Explores. We'll be back in just a bit to cover more on this, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're now listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, Enterprise Explores, the 2024 Earth Day report by Ipsos Malaysia. Helping me break this down is Arun Menon from Ipsos Malaysia. He's the managing director. This is the fourth edition of the report that is based on a 33-country survey where 24,000 people were interviewed over a course of 2 weeks, I believe, from January 26th through February 9th. Arun, we've gone through three key findings from earlier. So the first key finding that we went through was that the conviction on climate change is waning. The second one was there's a sense of fatalism among young men in particular. And three, that the more developed economies, the polluters, historical polluters, should be the ones paving the way. There's a certain belief in that. Now, the next one we have here is that there is a certain lack of knowledge, right? So in terms of what people should be doing that has the most impact. So versus, say, the belief that I'm putting, I think this is the example used in the report. It's like, if I put a plastic bottle in the recycling bin, that's something, it's a small action, but it has high value. There has been some question as to how valuable that is versus renewable energy, putting solar panels on your house or having more solar panels in your country. Talk to us about this particular finding from the report and some of its implications.
Okay. So we always believe in that factor that, you know, the tiny changes that we make will have a bigger impact at the overall point, right? And more or less, we are happy to see that most of the surveyed population recognize that. But what kind of tiny changes, like what kind of little difference as an individual you can make, which can lead up to a bigger impact on climate change? So for the last few years, recycling seems to be the first one. But in priority, that probably comes in 60 in terms of impact on climate change.
60.
Right? So not the first one, which would, you know, have a
not even
huge
the top 10.
Not even in the top 10, right? So that's because years between people get confused between plastic pollution and how does it actually leads into the overall climate change and, you know, the bigger impact.
It's
on
a separate issue, right? So on one end, you have the climate crisis, then you have plastic pollution and ocean pollution.
Yes.
Different actions needed for both. So reducing plastic is great for the ocean, may not have the same kind of impact for climate crisis.
Yes. It's part of the full environment. There is one is climate and, you know, rising seas and like, you know, changing temperatures and stuff. The other thing is that impact on the biodiversity, which also impact, climate also impacts, but plastic also has a big role play, right? So that's that mixing of it, just a clarity to the everyday person. But it's also the aspects of what I can do versus what I cannot do. I can do that, but the main impact on climate is always the fuel consumption, that, you know, we use fuel to generate power, you know, to ride cars and like a lot of, you know, a lot of aspects, right? The fossil fuel is the biggest contributor to the climate change impact, right? But to go without car, like for everybody in the world and every Malaysians, is a bit more challenging.
It's difficult. Yeah.
But it would have the direct impact, mm-hmm. right? So being car-free probably is the most important act that we can do, right? Or using public transportation would have a much more impact for us as an individual for the climate change, right? But we have some positive aspect as well, right?
Okay.
Say, in the past, renewable energy used to be back in the round. Now it has become the number one. People recognize, right, renewable energy and more fuel efficient, resources using, like, you know, you use bulbs and, you know, electricity appliances,
reducing
more fuel efficient,
reducing
the consumption, which has been recognized. But shifting to renewable energy in Malaysia and globally as well now comes as the top in terms of impact on climate change. Yes, it's not the number one or number two, but it's in the top 10, right? So that is a positive aspect of changing. So it is possible to change people's misperceptions, but, you know, that needs a lot more communication.
Yeah, I like this line in the report, right, which is the journey to a greener world might begin with a single step, but not all steps are equal. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be taking those other steps.
Exactly.
This one lesson I learned when I was very young from Captain Planet was reduce, reuse, recycle, right?
Yes.
The first most impactful thing you can ever do is reducing your consumption. Then you reuse what you have and then recycling. Because at the end of the day, recycling still consumes resources to transform that plastic bottle into something else later
on.
So again, it's not that your actions don't matter. It's just sometimes maybe you need to look at higher impact actions. So instead of buying a SUV, you buy a Perdua Beza, for example, that recently just became the number one selling car in the country. The fifth key finding here. Now, cost of living fears in developed countries could hamper renewable energy transition. Now, this is a big topic, the energy transition, and it kind of ties in right into the point we were making before this. I remember last year I was speaking to a partner from EY about their energy transition survey, and while some countries, Malaysia is ranking, a little bit of a, not a head start, but it seems to be on the positive trajectory. Some of the more developed countries, when they did it, there was a little bit of instability in the power grid, which led to consumer disconfidence or lack of confidence falling from consumers. Talk to us about this fear, the cost of living fears that come from the energy transition as found in the report.
Yeah. So that you have linked both, right? So energy is cost, right? Specifically in the most of the developed markets in the winter freezing worlds, right?
Yeah.
So you consume a lot of energy to heat your apartments, and that's like a huge bill, right?
Anything that generates heat is where most of the energy is being consumed.
Yes. So then if you are going to be paying more for a power transition and everything, right? Say for example, so that's a bit, right? But the main factor of it, and that's one of the reason at the beginning that we highlighted, that the waning aspect of the climate change action, right, is mostly directly linked into the inflation and the cost of living in those countries, right? If you're actually spending more on and you're trying to meet your ends meet, then climate change probably not comes into the priority of list that you would want to do, right? So that's one priority, which is one of the aspects of the developed economies, yeah.
So you have to make it affordable. You got to make it cheap and accessible. And that isn't always the easiest thing to do when it comes to new technologies. An example, again, the Inflation Reduction Act over in the US is trying to do that by encouraging through subsidies. Here in Malaysia, you can buy an EV without paying the tax on it. Oh, there's a tax deduction on that. But at the same time, now there are concerns over the secondhand value of those vehicles. So there are a lot of teething issues here. And just because you switch over to an electric vehicle doesn't mean that it's net positive in terms of energy consumption, because it depends on what the grid is made of. But the actions, we still need to, I guess you have to give people a sense that they can do something.
Exactly. So one of the things is that we all know that emission reduction, the big part of the climate change action is financial incentives, right, for people. So we also made the third part, which is basically in terms of making the right communication reach to the people, right? So the big chunk of the middle is that financial incentive. It's not just the individual to make the right choices, but for the governments and the communities also make two right choices, right? So, and that's one of the things also the UN also advocated in terms of that. How do we build in a financial infrastructure which actually support this transition, right? So that becomes an extremely asset. So the way we are going to be successful in making more carbon neutral or net zero is through that path, right? So
it's the incentivization. How do we incentivize people in a way that works for them and towards the goals that we want? And I guess all this leads us to two particular parties, let's call them, right? So one's the what this all means for brands, what all this means for the government. Mm. Given that a lot of people listening here are from the business community, Arun, what are the findings, those key findings from this survey tell? What do they mean for businesses and brands out there in terms of how they should be looking at this and maybe positioning themselves or adapting to this in terms of meeting consumer needs, that sort of thing?
So, and one of the questions that we ask is that, a majority of the people, like around 2/3 of the global population, believes that if the brands are not taking the right actions, they are actually failing their customer, not just customers, but also their own employees, right? Mm. So, and you know that how the employee activism when it comes to some of this aspects, right? So that means that tomorrow, if somebody needs to have you in their consideration list, that you should be making the right action. In the past, there was this perception that, you know, I can actually charge more for recycling my products, or I come with, you know, instead of a plastic bag, I have that, you know, the other one. Mm. But the people are believing from the aspect, no, that has to be part of your heritage and DNA, not that, you know, an extra price at which you get this, right? No one is going to go for that aspect. So it has to be the way you run the organization is to be, you know, you are conscious of the impact that you're making for environment, right? In the recent past, the ESG has become a much more of a dominant topic, right? Environmental, social, and the governmental actions, and the brands are conscious of it. But more than doing the talking the talk about it, right? It's actually actions which happens. And we spoke about Gen Z and Millennial particularly. They are the most who's going to be focused on looking at the brands to make these right actions, right?
So, yeah, so I was just going to ask a little bit of follow-up about the demographics of the survey, people who surveyed who cared more about those kind of things. What can you tell us about the generations or the groups of people that actually look at what a company is doing, what a brand is doing versus, because there are demographics that don't really care, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what's the cheapest product? Not the product that is most beneficial or most least impactful to the environment. Mm.
So what we have seen is that mostly those generation, what we call the baby boomers and Gen X, tends to be actually now started caring a lot more than what it used to be in the past, right? In terms of the brands that they are actually looking for, right? We also know that, again, the female customers are the one who cares more than the male customers when it comes to buying this products and brand. Of course, the developed markets, they would have more awareness because of they're much more conscious about those purchases and things. So we see that it's higher in the developed market than the developing market. But it's not being that it's unimportant, right? It's just that there is an action against that brands more in the developed market. In the developing market, there's a natural expectation from the band to act responsibly.
I wonder how much this has, I'm not sure if this is covered in the report, but just anecdotally speaking, how much this relates to GDP per capita as well, right? Discretionary income gives you choices, and you can be more responsible with your choices as opposed to maybe more lower income nations where they've got to just deal with the first part, which is, do I have what I need to get on with my life?
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting to see. And maybe the boomers and Gen Xers have
more
discretionary income.
Yeah. But it's also different when it comes to millennials, particularly because most of them have kids now, right? So when it comes to kids, you would definitely go for more responsible product when you are actually taking care of your kids, right? And it's much more conscious of it, right? So even if they would not make that choice, but for their kids, they would make that choice, right? So,
yeah, no, I could totally see that, right? That it's now your responsibility. You've brought someone to this world and you want to have a semblance of a better world for them. And I hate to sound like a capitalist here, but, you know, we've talked a lot about demographics and all of this. Immediately, I'm looking at this. These are different target demos for brands out there, right?
Yes.
The older baby boomers, the Gen Xers, the millennial women, the Gen Z women. What are some key lessons or insights that brands can take from this report in terms of how they position their products going forward? Yep. Again, apologies for turning this nice, great report about the awareness of Earth Day into a consumer-focused, capitalistic viewpoint, but it's important for the business community.
No, absolutely right. Say, for example, everybody wants to be seen that you are taking actions, right? say, for example, but as you rightly mentioned, the affordability is something which changes as well as, like, if you are a baby boomer or Gen X, right, you are already retired or you have that income to make those purchases, right? But these are also consumers who've been loyal to brand for a longer period of time, compared to somebody who is Gen Z and millennial, right? So in terms of priority of, like, the actual actions that they're taking, probably for Gen Z and millennial, they would actually look into that a mm-hmm. bit more so that, you know, they would take the action. But it's not unimportant for Gen X or a baby boomers generation per se, right? So,
okay. And, you know, just to kind of come to the close in this conversation, Arun, we've talked about the brand side. We've kind of touched on what policymakers need to be paying attention here. Now, aside from being consumers, these are also voters, and this is a very big election year.
Yeah.
What should policymakers take note of from the Earth Day 2024 report in terms of what the voting population is feeling like?
Okay. So when it comes to climate change, there is probably four ways to take as an individual, as a community, as a brand, and as government, right? And the government is one of the ways you can coordinate actions across the world, because climate change is not an individual country's problem, but it's across the world, right? So there's a role that the government plays in terms of educating people when it comes to what should be the right steps to make when it comes to when it is climate change action. But it's also the point is that, you know, where are the opportunities as well? I would also say that Malaysia as a country has a lot more opportunities driven by the climate change action, because we have more than 50% of this country as a forest, right, which act as a carbon sink, right? So increasingly people will look at to Malaysia as, for example, for the carbon markets, right? And so there is also an opportunity and potential when you are the government and you make the right steps towards that, when it comes to carbon storage, or it when it comes to, you know, for the carbon credit using our, you know, vast forest. And, you know, so as long as you don't deforest, we don't deforest more and protect our forest, then that's itself, it act as a huge, and it's a right step when Malaysia wants to be net zero.
Yeah.
These forests will act as a huge step in terms of
reaching. And that is something that we don't pay enough attention to, all the forest that we have, as you mentioned, that carbon sink effect that it has. We just need to get it certified. We need to get people to certify that. And it will be a huge benefit to the country in terms of its carbon neutrality in the long term. And, you know, if we have this interconnected carbon credit system or carbon counting system, that's, again, still a while away, but it will help towards that goal of that 2050 carbon net zero.
Yep.
Arun, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up today?
Yeah, thank you for having us. And, you know, as we repeatedly mentioned that, you know, each one of us can take a step. It's not just have to be the government or the brand. There is an individual role into action as well. So whoever is listening to this program will also make one step that helps us to be more, you know, supportive of the climate change action.
Yeah, no matter how small that action is, yes, maybe the impact is not proportional to what you believe it is, but we all have to do what we can. And hopefully as that continues to build momentum, people start doing more and more. Just having people in your social circle who are doing small actions can influence other people to do other things. And on the ground, I guess that's the best that we can do. Arun, thank you again so much for your time. Till the next report, I look forward to speaking with you. Folks, I've been speaking with Arun Menon. He's the Managing Director at Ipsos Malaysia, and we were talking about their Earth Day 2024 report and some of their key findings. Some really interesting things in this report that businesses and policymakers can kind of utilize to kind of understand the consumer better, but also understand the voting base better. Folks, this is Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And if you missed any part of the conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app or on bfm.my or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for Enterprise Explores. I'm Roshan Gunnison. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.